Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and I am welcoming back my co-host. Thanks for joining me once again, Mac. It's nice to have you here.
Okay, I've missed the show three times in 12 years.
And only once with me.
But yeah, I was a little annoyed listening.
Because I killed it.
Because you did kill it.
I know.
You two were great together, and I was not needed at all.
Yeah, I know.
Although I was amused at you reading my This Day in History.
I was kind of giggling the whole time, too, because I'm like, well, this is what Mac chose.
And I could tell that you were a little like, why is this one there? And I realized listening to it later that I was going to talk more about like that item or this item. But
right.
I don't have those notes. I just have the date and what happened.
Yes.
So
it's like I've just stumbled through. But that was fun. No, that was good. But I prefer to have a co-host. So yeah, as you know. And guests too. We have a guest here tonight.
We do. I'm excited by
Mark
this.
Carey, owner of Astoria Fultanos. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's gonna be good.
And what's fun is you are friends with a lot of people involved in the Historical Society.
That is correct.
And we just came off of our Roaring Twenties Casino Night, which
yes.
you've missed a couple of years, but you've always sponsored it regardless. But you've come almost every year.
Yeah, I've only missed a couple of years.
Yeah. And yet I've never actually sat down and had a long conversation with you. So I'm really excited by this.
Nice. Yes.
We're going to get to know who you are.
You might not want to.
Uh-oh. Are we going to talk football?
I think we're going to have some good stories.
Okay. All right. So let's get going.
That's right. All right. So you got a word?
I got a word. This is a historic word that maybe we'll bring back. This one's a noun and it's a notekin.
Say that again.
Notekin.
Notekin. Spell it.
Notekin.
And it's a noun. So I guess first, so that you can appear at least a little smarter than me. I believe a noun called notekin is, it's the root note. So I'm going to say that it is writing down a short note.
Close.
Ooh.
It's a note done by a munchkin. A little
oh,
note.
No.
A little note.
I'm glad she did not let you vote on
tiny
that.
In size.
Yeah.
You said tiny in length, so
yes.
Notekin. I like that one.
All right. And I do need to give a shout out because we had a successful casino night. And
yes.
Lots of wonderful sponsors, including Fultano's Astoria and Randy Stemper and his family, Kent and LJ Isom, Old Town Framing, Bornstein Seafood. I'm not going to name everybody because I didn't write these down. I'm doing them off the top of my head now. Our presenting sponsor, Northwest Lending.
Fun.
And...
And lots of good costumes. I love the
costumes. Yeah.
You got dressed up.
Yeah, my wife made me.
Yeah, and she looked gorgeous, of course. Yeah, she was in like the 20s, flapper dress. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a great theme. I love it.
I do like that the guys don't dress up as much. And frequently it's I've got like the little armbands. Like I'm a banker, a dealer,
oh.
And a vest and a hat is usually what the guys do.
That's easy.
There's every now and then there's like more than that. There was a guy in a fez that was making me laugh.
Yeah, there's some good costumes, yeah. But
yeah, it's for the gals.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's for those dresses. So, yeah, good job.
We used to do best costume male, best costume female, and best couples. And we realized we weren't really being fair the year. We're like, okay, this guy had a hat on.
Yeah.
So we just started giving two best costumes.
Oh, nice.
So, all right, because this is going to be a good show. Let's get right to it. So these are history highlights, the things that happened tomorrow that I think had the biggest impact on history, February 24th. As always, things to talk about at the bar.
Yeah.
Or things to talk about at work.
At the Pizza Parlor.
1841, John Quincy Adams begins the arguments in the Amistad case.
I saw that.
We've talked about the Amistad case, so... And I like that he's a former president.
Yeah.
And he's going into the courtroom.
Yep, diving in.
1864, the Union inmates begin arriving at deadly Andersonville prison. I wish more Americans knew about Andersonville because it's hideous. It's horrible. They were starving people to death and it was way overcrowded and just terrible, terrible. And at our last talk in Tombstones, we actually had a guy that was a survivor of Andersonville and he gave a very powerful presentation.
Ooh. Huh.
1868, President Andrew Johnson is impeached, and we've never had any problems with presidents again.
The wonderful. First one. He was the first.
Yes.
Yeah.
1868, the first U.S. parade with floats.
1868,
the first U.S. parade with floats, and it was Mardi Gras.
Of course
In Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, now, that's interesting.
Who wants to go to a Mardi Gras in Alabama?
Well, I mean, Mobile isn't that far from New Orleans, really. I mean, distance-wise.
So you'd prefer I don't bag on Alabama?
No, go right ahead, okay. Yeah. I'm still thinking like 1868. That seems early for floats.
It does seem kind of strangely early to me.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever picked on Alabama on the air before. I pick on Florida. I like picking on Florida because my brother lives there. So it's fun. 1888, Louisville, Kentucky becomes the first government in the U.S. to adopt the Australian ballot method. And I had to look this up because I didn't know what the Australian ballot is. It's a secret ballot on a standard voting form. A secret ballot. So you don't have to actually say, yes, I am voting this way.
Oh.
And everyone would know who you voted for.
Oh, okay. So you don't put your name on it, what you're saying.
No, it's a secret ballot.
Oh, okay.
Prior to that, you know, like the Irish immigrants are arriving in New York City. Here's $10. I'm going to give you a job and I need you to go in and vote for this guy.
Oh, okay. And you put your name on it.
And everyone would know whether you really voted the way you're being paid to vote.
Oh.
So now it's a secret ballot.
Okay. Yes, that works much better.
It does work much better. I like that a lot. 1917, the Zimmerman telegram is presented to the U.S. ambassador. We've talked about this.
It's huge.
The secret German reaching out to Mexico, asking them to join into the war against the United States, and maybe they'd get a lot of their territory back. 1940, they didn't join in.
Right,
Mexico decided not to.
Little too close to home.
Spoiler alert. 1942, the Battle of Los Angeles takes place, a series of anti-aircraft engagements over the city in response to a rumored but false Japanese attack. It would last until the morning of the following day. 1942. Now, how many of you have seen the movie 1941 with John Belushi?
Yeah, I've seen that.
This is what it's based on. That whole, like, we're going nuts.
Oh, okay.
It was an actual thing where all of a sudden they were shooting all the...
Terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Aykroyd and... Was John Candy in that? I can't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah,
Dan Aykroyd was like the tank commander or something. But we thought we were under attack. And
we weren't.
We were not.
Oof.
It's very loosely.
Okay.
Based on it's not actual docudrama or something.
Yeah, it was a comedy.
Yeah. Well, with those actors, yes. Yeah.
1946, Juan Perón is elected in Argentina.
Any singing?
I'm not going to sing. I've already sung Evita on the air once.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I missed that one.
Because I saw it on Broadway when I was like in high school.
It was good. Liked it.
I think John Gutenberger was the guest that day, and he said, "You sound just like Madonna."
right.
2022. This day in history. Yeah, 2022. I'm waiting for the evil eye.
I'm not going to count it.
2022, Russia invades Ukraine. I'm sorry, that one's going to be 50 years from now. We're still going to talk about this. So it is history, even though it's only a few years.
It will be history.
It will be history.
Will be history.
All right. Alana doesn't like when I do modern stuff.
25 years.
1803, though, our history holiday thing I think had the most impact. The Supreme Court, led by Chief Justice John Marshall, decides the landmark case of William Marbury versus James Madison, Secretary of State of the United States, and confirms the legal principle of judicial review, the ability of the Supreme Court to limit congressional power by declaring legislation unconstitutional. First time.
Yeah.
Checks and balances. We like it.
Yes.
That's what I missed.
You did. You missed a big one. So, you know, I went to school for communication, and this was one of, like, the flagstone pieces or the court cases that we had to study, and it was this day in 1983. The U.S. Supreme Court votes unanimously to overturn the $200,000 First Amendment settlement to the Reverend Jerry Falwell for his emotional distress parodied in Hustler.
Yeah.
So imagine, you know, like you're in college, you feel like you're so smart, you're just studying like just amazing journalism, and then this is the case that you're like, okay, this is the one that's going to protect you.
I mean, every time Hustler magazine parodied me, I didn't care.
but unanimous. So, you know, they did decide that the lower court's decision ruling that it was in poor taste, it did fall within the First Amendment's protection of the freedom of speech.
So, I saw it. I saw that. I just rejected it as a history highlight.
But here we are using our voices for speech.
So we're not parodying anything.
No, but we do. I mean, but we have the freedom of speech, right? We do. We do. We have the freedom. We have public airwaves. We're on a public radio station.
We're the worst country in the world, but it's just better than anybody else's version. So
we have our own opinions, and we're allowed to broadcast it. Yes.
All right. Well, that's a terrible segue. I was going to say, but somebody else who has their own opinion, but I don't know that you're like an outspoken opinion guy. You just kind of quietly go about your life.
You got to be careful giving opinions when you're a business owner. You're always going to offend somebody.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And yet he's like this diehard Duck fan.
Well, I mean, that's different.
See. Who cares about those? I say that because like the only time Mark and I have hung out in great lengths is at Beaver Oregon games, which haven't happened now in a long time. I mean,
you can say Civil War still.
Civil War, it's all right. Yes.
It's still fine.
And we used to go, I don't know that, did you ever come to a Beaver game with us? We would go with them so that we'd have like some protection.
No,
we'd
I don't.
Go in our Beaver gear. And I was
we
like,
never went to Corvallis.
Terrible. Yeah, I know. I didn't love it, but.
Hey, we protected you. You're
you
still here.
Yes, I digress.
And you're really protecting her, not we'll throw Mark away.
Yeah, exactly.
He's fine. He's fine all by himself.
He owned it. Yeah.
So before we get into, obviously, you love football, but talk about, you're a hometown guy. You grew up here. So talk about a little bit of growing up here and how your parents got here and what they did.
Where'd you live?
So I'll go back. So my parents grew up in Pendleton, and they both moved here to start Arctic Circle.
Oh, really?
So, it was before you were here, Matt.
I know the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they started Arctic Circle, and then...
And then where was that located?
So it was where... it's across from Burger King. It used to be Sunset Presort. Now it's a smoke shop, I think. Yeah. I can't keep track. Yeah. So they ended up selling it. I think I was 7 years old and they sold it. And then they had one in Seaside. They owned half one in Seaside also. Mm-hmm. So... born here. I grew up right across the street from Lums, and which Eric Paulson ended up buying that house.
Oh, wow.
And then Carmichael. I don't know if you remember Tom Carmichael.
Yeah.
So where Will Fox, Cox and Fago is.
Yes.
Was Carmichael. So that was my other neighbor. And then 7th and Klatskanine is where I grew up.
Okay.
Oh, how fun.
Down there.
Just like almost right downtown. Like so close.
4 blocks up from Fultano's. Ironically.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So you went to the local schools.
Yep. So I went to Gray School back when it was through 4th grade. We were allowed to walk on our own there. It was no big deal. Walk home. And then middle school for 4 years. And back when I went to middle school, there's no road there. There was a big trail. And so they added that. Yeah, they added that road. Coast Guard housing wasn't there when I grew up there. And then I went to high school for 4 years. Went to Clatsop for 2 years, and then I went to U of O for 2 years.
And what were you studying? What did you go to college for? What were you going to study? What did you think your life was going
to
be like?
So originally I wanted to go in accounting, but those are hard classes, to be honest with you. And so I started working at Fultano's my freshman year, and I was going to Clatsop, and the manager at the time, if you follow Fultano's, Toby Harris, that owns the Klatskanine Scappoose store, he ended up buying that. So I became manager going to school. And I told Robert I was interested. He goes, well, I'm not going to sell it to you unless you finish college. So I did my 2 years there. And then I came back, and a year and a half later, June 1st of 1998, I bought Fultano's.
Oh, my goodness. So did Robert own the one in Warrenton by then, too?
Yeah, he still owned that. Yep.
Okay. So, but he was still in Astoria.
Yeah, he had both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we've had another owner, Tony Dundas.
Neil
Dundas also started with Robert, and then kind of got his way.
So I worked there before he owned it. That's how long I've been there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated that both you recognized this was something you really liked, and then he saw something in you, because if you're managing the place when you're a kid.
Yeah, it's you know, at first it's awkward. I mean, when you're 16 years old and you're in charge after he leaves at night, you get a little pushback, you can imagine, you know. So yeah, it was.
And what was the age of the other people that worked there? I mean, I assume there were people that were a lot older than you.
Yeah, the first person we call close. So, you know, you're in charge for about 3 hours, basically. I think she was probably 21, 22. And then I always had to have somebody at least 18 so they could pour beer.
So what else did you do during this time in high school? Obviously, you're working a lot.
Yeah, I didn't play that many sports. I had a knee injury in eighth grade. So I played basketball a couple of years. I didn't play football because of my knee. And so mainly I just worked. I mean, I played soccer a couple of years, basketball a couple of years, and that was it.
And what were your favorite classes? If you thought you were going to go to school for accounting, was that because you had this opportunity and encouragement by the owner of a business? Or was it because those were the classes you liked in high school?
I've always been a numbers guy. I like numbers. Not a big, I know, opposite of your major. But
yes.
Writing English, that was a tough one for me. I like numbers better. I think because my parents own a business also, you know, I kind of got my foot in the door for that. But it was just kind of something I thought I was good at. So I wanted to do that. Something I wanted to do. I wanted to be my own boss.
So obviously for hometown kids, I always like asking any favorite teachers or anybody that really jumped out.
You know, I had
bad or good. Actually.
I was fortunate. I had a lot of really good teachers. If they're still around, I still talk to them. I mean, one of them, I had both, Patchings, both, I think both Davises, Goen, there's a bunch of others. I mean, those are the ones that just kind of, you know, top of the head, you know, that I remember. It's kind of ironic because when I was in kindergarten, I had Mrs. Patching. And then my oldest daughter, Michaela, that was her kindergarten teacher.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was her daughter. Not her mom, but the daughter. That was her, I think one of her first classes was my daughter. So it's kind of ironic.
That's cool.
I was going to ask you, because your youngest daughter is graduating from high school this year.
Yes.
And does she have any teachers in high school that you knew that are still there?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah. No, so I can't think of any. Yeah. I mean, I was in high school a long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, my youngest is graduating high school this year. My oldest is graduating college.
Oh my goodness.
This year also.
Two sweet girls. I love them both. Yeah. Yes.
In Fargo. So North Dakota State University. She called me this morning. Said, "Dad, it's really cold. It's negative 20 with the wind chill of negative 40.
We were not meant to live in that kind of environment.
Awful.
It does. I don't know why she wants to live there.
So before we get back to
sure.
Poltano's, you live just a few blocks from downtown, you say, and what kinds of things for people that didn't grow up here in this time period, what kinds of things did kids do? Where did you hang out, or what was a Friday night like?
Friday nights, I mean, we're usually stay out till dark. I mean, it was no big deal. I mean, obviously I know kids won't believe this, but we didn't have cell phones. So basically, you know, when it got dark, you're in, you know, you had to go in, but I mean, we were in the woods all the time. I mean, we'd go up to the column, we'd get a thing of paper and bring it up there, and we'd probably not allowed to, but made our own paper airplanes and threw them off. And then the ones that didn't get to the trees, we'd go pick them up afterwards. But I'm sure there's a few of them in the trees there over the years.
Decomposed
official
by now.
Yeah, exactly.
Official announcement that is not sanctioned at the Astoria column.
You got to buy the dollar gliders.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, we were outside a lot more. I mean, video games were starting, but it wasn't that. We're outside all the time.
I'm interested. You're not the first person to tell me how much the column was someplace that comes to mind.
It's true.
And my kids, I mean, they like the column, but they wouldn't have thought about that was a place to go hang out, or it was just someplace when visitors were in town we'd go up to. So I'm always fascinated. That it was actually kind of a place that you felt a connection to.
Well, I think we're bored. So we're on our bikes, we're walking. I mean, we go from the column, we go out to the falls, ride our bikes out the falls.
Oh my goodness. Go
fishing or swimming out there. I mean, our parents, I mean, they kind of knew where we were, but I mean, I wish our kids could grow up in that now. It seems like you can't leave them alone like you used to.
Well, that begs a good question too, though. It's a small town. I mean, my daughter had the experience, and this is only now, you know, 14 years ago, but of walking downtown and meeting a friend who happened to be a boy. And before getting back to our house, my wife had like three texts and phone calls. Oh, I saw your daughter downtown with a boy. And, you know, my daughter, I love this town, I hate this town at the same time. Did you have that experience where other parents knew who you were?
Oh, yeah. You couldn't get away with anything. Okay. I mean, it was pretty much, we had a few, you know, close friends I hung out with, and it was pretty much, you know, if you did something wrong, you're going to get spanked by their parents, or, you know, I mean, it was, you knew better.
I didn't need to tell your parents because they were going to parent you.
Exactly. But it kept kids in line more because they knew that they couldn't get away with anything. But it was a good time. You know, kids are getting hungry. Whoever's house they were, they'd eat, or you could almost knock on the neighbor's house and somebody'd make you a sandwich or something. It was a good time to grow up, I think.
So who were some of those friends?
Let me see. You might remember Stoll. So Dr. Stoll, he was in town for a long time. So Matt and I were really close growing up. Another one, Paul Eihander, which ironically he was, when we're in school, he worked at KST. So he worked Sunday nights when he was like a sophomore in high school.
Oh, how cool. Wow.
Yeah. But.
And so yeah, even now, I mean, you're in the restaurant industry. And you are sort of the epicenter of a lot that's happening. I mean, you started the show by saying, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to piss people off because you're always going to disagree with somebody. Yet you are, I mean, you're right up in front, right? I mean, people see you. Right. They know that you're there. They come to Voltano's to eat, but they also come to see you, right? To say hi, to have that really quick conversation. I mean, what's that like to be sort of the front man all the time?
It's different. I mean, you get used to it, but it's kind of nice. I mean, we just opened up a sports bar this year, as actually on St. Patrick's Day was the 4-year anniversary of when COVID shut everything down. So I wish I could publicize it more when I did it, but we're working out the kinks. So you didn't want to announce it, but it's nice. Most of the people that come in, I know it's a lot of local people that come in the bar, so I know who they are. So it's kind of nice that, you know, most of the people that come in the restaurant. I mean, it's different over the years. We've had a lot of new people in town and stuff, but you know, it's a nice feeling. You know, when I went into schools back then, you didn't have to fill out the forms because they knew who you were.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's nice, you know, like for after basketball games, you know, a lot of people come and eat, or football games. So it's kind of cool being, you know, one of the cornerstones of the community. You know, Dairy Queen's another one's been there forever. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few businesses, but, you know, not a lot of people that were born and raised here.
I was going to say, like, to be that place that to think about, you know, 25 years from now, those kids that are going mm-hmm. after the games, because mm-hmm. I see them flood down there and you know that they're safe, right? They're in your space. They're being fed. They're not doing anything bad either. That you're helping create some of those memories.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's kind of nice to think about that. Yeah, exactly.
It's the reward after the Little League game.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
that would be my son's immediate reaction.
Yes.
And we do have lots of people that come into town. And, you know, I went so many years ago, I used to go here and stuff. And I'm sure it's the same in a lot of small towns, but it's nice to hear.
So before we run out of time, because we've got about 6 minutes left, I got to ask, because anytime somebody's in a specific business, you make pizzas, among other things.
Yes.
I know what the question is.
I have made a couple in my life.
You're laughing at it because I'm an idiot. Yeah. You're the professional. So what's your favorite pizza?
Yeah, I knew that one was coming.
Yeah. And then I want to know, what's like the secret pizza? What's the one that we should order?
Oh, man. So growing up, my favorite was Mona Lisa. So Canadian bacon, pepperoni, and seasoned ground beef. That was my go-to. I'm more of a traditional pizza person. I like more of the traditional toppings. There's so many more toppings now than there were. I think when I first started there was like 10.
Oh my goodness.
And I couldn't tell you now.
Oh, it's kind of anything. Sure.
But yeah, so if that answers your question.
And is pineapple an acceptable topping?
You know,
you don't want to.
No, it's funny how many people are. Some
so
people.
Passionate.
Oh, that's a good word. Yeah, that's trying to think of the word, and that's exactly what I was looking for. I mean, some people absolutely. Other people, I mean, they're horrified it's on there. So it just cracks me up. If you don't like it, just don't order it.
Right.
There you go.
That's what I've never.
It's not. It shouldn't be that controversial.
That's what I don't understand. I like pineapple. Yeah. I don't need it on a pizza, but I'm also not thinking it's the most horrible thing ever. And why do you just don't order it then?
Oh, and I love it. Funny that people I'm a shrub so fan for sure. Yep. Yes. But Mark's Mona Lisa with sliced cold tomatoes on top.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not this Mark. My Mark. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So, yeah, I got to have those favorite ones. What is the future of the pizza industry? Where do you see it going?
It's one of the ones that's kind of, you know, kind of stayed the test of time. It's still there. I think it's going to be similar. Are you talking like the products or just like business in general?
Just business. Yeah. How do you keep it going? I mean, you've now seen it. I mean, especially since you started in high school, the evolution of it, has it changed much or not at all?
Yeah, well, the stuff you don't want to hear, the behind the scenes stuff, mm-hmm. has gotten a lot more complicated.
Harder, yeah.
A lot more regulation, stuff sure. like that. But, you know, dealing with finding the ingredients during COVID was, hopefully we'll never have that thing again. But that was a real trying time. But I think we'll just adjust a little few more ideas, but I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, I think it'll be like pretty much burgers. There'll always be a staple.
Yeah.
That does beg, though, talking about COVID, some restaurants just weren't prepared for takeout.
Right. That's true.
And obviously, people are always picking up takeout.
We were extremely busy during COVID, but okay. I hate saying it. We're too busy because we didn't have the people, and we're one of the few people open. So, I mean, we just got just blasted sometimes. So, I mean, it was overwhelming. I don't mean to whine, but
yeah.
But I mean, yeah, some days, it was just like, holy cow, it's just busy.
And what is roughly the percentage of takeout sales or income versus sit down for you in a general regular year?
I would say now it's going more towards dine in again. Obviously, during COVID, we were lucky we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. We already did takeout pizza. I mean, it's easy to we're fortunate. We just had trouble getting enough boxes and, you know, stuff like that. But I would say now it's close to 50, between pickups and deliveries and dine-in, it's probably about 50-50 now. I'd say maybe it's going a little bit more, even more than that dine-in now, because I think people are just tired of getting everything to go.
Interesting. So one of my favorite questions, you know, especially as your youngest daughter is graduating, what is it that is going to keep you here? Or are you going to stay here?
Oh, me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of tied. I don't really have a choice. I have a big investment. So, but I don't know. Yeah, I'll probably always have a place here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see myself moving anytime soon.
So besides college football, what do you, as you actually get away from work at all, what do you like to do?
I have season tickets for the Ducks for about 15 years. So you're right. You hit it right on the head. That's probably my number one. That's kind of one of the things I want to work on. I need to go do some more stuff and get away a little more. That's the hard part. So
it's a good goal. Good goal to have.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go to Fargo.
Yeah. You know, it's in the winter, it's miserable. In the summer, and it's actually a neat old town. I mean, it's the people there are actually super nice. I mean, it's that culture there. They're very welcoming. So as long as it's not the dead of winter, it's not bad.
Either of your daughters interested in the pizza business?
No.
Nope. Not at all.
That was very fast.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So it's yours. It's yours forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not forever, but so.
And where, and this is going to be really bad if it's like right on the top of your menu and I just don't remember seeing it. Where does Fultano's come from?
The name?
Yeah. Was that an actual guy?
No. Well, yeah, so they changed the name. It used to be Pizza Vendor, and then there was five partners, and they broke up. And then, so two of the stores, Astoria Klotzkenein, Bob Fulton started it. So Fulton, Fultano's, it sounded Italian. There's your name.
All Fultano's. Right. I love
that.
I
so that's where I probably had heard that at some
That's where
point.
It came from. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, go out and have some pizza. On that note. Right.
Well, we appreciate you do a lot of things in the community. And like I said, you've been a very steady supporter of the Historical Society. So we appreciate that. And you make tons of memories for kids and people. You're a gathering place and you're an important part of the community. So we appreciate it.
Yes.
Nope.
And go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.